Very glad, dear friend, to be with you again. And when I received the program through the mail, you don't know how thrilled I was to see the subject selected for this convention. So, we immediately went to work to put some thoughts together, based altogether upon the text that you have chosen. First of all, the one in Psalm 63 and 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. We are living in a time that is unprecedented. We are living in a transition period. And if you will recall, in times past, on every such occasion, there was a special message to go forth. We will recall in Noah's day, God's order was coming to an end. But the message that was given the people at that time was, from their viewpoint, stupendous, unbelievable. So, coming down the stream of time to the end of the Jewish order of things, there was a message, a special message to be delivered at that time, and the people as a whole were not ready for that message. There standeth one among you whom ye know not. And when our Lord was discussing this in regard to this transition period, and they called his attention to the wonderful temple that they had at that time, he says, not one stone will be left upon another. That was a hard message. But that was the message of the hour. And as we look over the prophecies, we see the prophet has expressed it in this language. To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? And who has believed our report, our message that we have to deliver today? And in keeping with these texts that you have selected, we will proceed along that line. It is very manifest that none of the saints, none but the saints, can make such statements as we have here, praising God and magnifying his name. Nobody else can do that. No others can esteem divine favor more precious and more valuable than present life. No. The world looks at things from a material standpoint. But here, we are in the end of a harvest period of invisible things. Everything you talk about that is spiritual is an invisible realm. And how many can comprehend? Not many. No, not many. Here we have a true heartfelt expression of the mind of the new creature, in praising, lauding, and magnifying Jehovah and His name, and declaring His great divine plan of the ages, which of course means in due time the blessings of all the kinds of the earth. What a message! And how can we keep still? Fill it out. Fill it out among the nations. That's what we should do. And that's what we have come together here to do. Praise God and magnify His holy name. This lack of trust and confidence is due to many false ideas in regard to this great transition period. How long the people have been taught in the past? How utterly impossible it is for them to comprehend the transition that's going on as they stand and listen. Not many know false ideas concerning the great Almighty. How grossly He has been misrepresented in all the theology around us today. And then we, the saints yet living on this side of the veil, we have a privilege and an obligation. And what a blessed privilege it is to do just what this text tells us. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures, here below. Yes, we're living in a wonderful time. God's love and His gracious promises for His fallen creatures through the redemption in Christ Jesus, and that He, Jehovah God, will not the death of him that dieth, but would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth and realize the blessing that awaits them in due time. That's the God we worship, who will in due time save all men. Yes. It is remarkable that in this mixed theology during the Dark Ages, there were faithful saints. It would seem impossible during that time, but yes, there were saints even in the Dark Ages, as well as in the primitive church. All down through the age, God has had people that were doing His work. If He had a message to deliver, somebody was delivering that message. If it was only a period of standing, somebody was taking a stand. So He's always had people doing His work. And we are living in this transition period, in which it's a wonderful privilege to be co-laborers with God. Well, what's He doing? Then the primary thing is to find out what God's doing. And then we want to cooperate with Him in whatever that may be. The saints of today, during the harvest period, who have been illuminated, the Apostle Paul voices their sentiments in weighing earthly matters in this language. What things were gained unto me from an earthly standpoint, lose, I count loss for Christ. Yes, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, in whom I have suffered the loss of all things pertaining to earthly interests, these earthly things, raw things, and what value did he put upon them? I count them as but dung. When we contemplate the ministry today, another privilege, with the Apostle Paul, then we can say, why, everything that's earthly is as but dung compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ at this time, in being able to comprehend by this great illumination that we have received, this insight into this invisible realm, and are able to comprehend what will happen tomorrow. Wonderful privilege. That I may win Christ. That's our objective. And we are motivated to do that one thing, and like the Apostle Paul, I may win Christ, and I may be found in him. He found a member of this mystical body of Christ. What a privilege. Now, this is only attained by cooperation with him and our Father. Now, if he has sit down and doing nothing, then we can also sit down and do nothing. But if he is active, if he is working, then we want to see to it that we are also active and working and doing that which is pleasing to him. And the power, the privilege of his resurrection, achieved resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his sacrificial death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Philippians 3:7-11. The apostle's sentiment is that all of the saints today, of all who will be found worthy and accounted overcomers, yea, more than overcomers, conquerors, yea, even more than that, more than conquerors. Romans 8:27. Who will be counted joint heirs with Christ? None but those who overcome, and even more than overcome. Not gain but the reward by a hair, a close margin, but more than overcomers. An abundant entrance. Yes. Oh, nothing short of this will do. They do indeed appreciate the loving kindness, the favor of God as better than earthly life, and so their lips shall praise him. Praise Jehovah. I feel, dear brethren, that it is providential that you have chosen this text for your convention. and especially Psalms 145. Too much there. Which so forcibly expresses the sentiments of the true saint at the present time, pertaining to the kingdom. And all this has been held before God's people all down through the age, the kingdom. And those of us who have been in this way for a number of years have looked forward to that kingdom. And now, bless your heart, we're living in that day. Yes, I believe it. We're living in a time when all these things that we've looked forward to are now taking place. Yes, we are in the millennium. And also, the ending of the harvest period of the gospel age. There is your transition. There is your difficult time to separate and say, now this will end here and this will begin here. No, you can't do that. All the words together, those that are very wise are not able to set a date and say everything ends here and everything begins here. No, you can't do that. Now then, what are we to do today? It is apparent that all consuming thought of the writer of the psalm in its closing chapters is praise. Let's notice how he, all the way through, in closing up the psalm, everything is praise. Now, I believe that he was expressing the sentiments of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those words express the thoughts of all of us, and he says, Lord, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me to do thy will. Yeah, my will, Lord, is written within my heart. Now the psalmist had that thought, and he was praising God all the while. Let's see how he puts it. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Psalms 146 and 1. Then in Psalms 147, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. It's nice. Then again in 148, 1, he strikes them all out. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Then again in 149. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. The new song. Nobody could sing it before. Now it's a new song. And his praises in the congregation of the saints. That's what we're trying to do here today. Trying to praise God in the congregation of the saints assembled here at this convention. And let us continue then to meditate upon these thoughts like the psalmist is telling us here. Praising God for his wonderful works among men. And his wonderful works within our hearts and our minds, in illuminating us, enabling us to be seated with Christ in the heavens, and be able to comprehend all these things from a divine standpoint. A what a blessed privilege is ours today. We're living in this transition period and witnessing these changes going on from us. Then he says, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent grace. That's 151:2. We know God's doing his mighty acts now. Well, is anybody praising God for the conditions in the world today? When they contemplate the great power of communism coming down over everything, can they praise God? No. Well, can we? Yes, we can. Because we see, we are able to comprehend that God is working out his great divine plan in the affairs of men and nations, and this great movement is now bringing down, bringing low everything that stands in the way of that blessed and that mediatorial grace of Christ. But then we can also praise him for his mighty acts, and also for his excellent grace. Therefore, let us join with David in the glorious chorus and sing unto the Lord a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made unto God kings and priests, and they shall reign on the earth. Why, what a mystery. That's our privilege today, to sing this new song, tell it out to the world, that this time of trouble that you are witnessing today as just the forerunner of the golden age that the poets have wrote about, and our hymns have been the words in regard to the glorious time that awaits the world. So you see, we are privileged to tell these things out today. And if we keep still, I think it would be like at the first Advent, when they protested against that hallelujah there as our Lord marched into Jerusalem. Tell the people to shut up. Now, Lord says, why, if they don't cry out this way, the very stones would cry out. Why? Because the prophets have said this would happen. Now, the prophets also have told us that in this transition period, there would be somebody that would be actively engaged in declaring these things to the world. And that's no time to be still. No, just the reverse. Let us then be up and doing and declaring this message, praising God and magnifying his name, and declaring that this awful act that we see coming down over the earth is only preparatory, only making way for the blessings that are coming just around the corner. Now then, yea, more than overcomers, you see, we must be. Now, it is apparent then that all of these things must be done by someone. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Yes, praise the Lord. Therefore, let us join with David then in singing this new song, and let us tell it out among the nations. The lips of this class, consecrated to God, laying down their present life in his service, should be thus devoted to prayer. That's right. If others hear this song, can they sing it?
Hello? They can't.
Why? Because it cost them something to sing this song. This new song of Moses and the Lamb, it means a full, complete consecration and devotion to doing God's will, if possible, too much. Only those who are able to pay the price are able to sing this song. Those of us who have paid the price, then let us join in this grand chorus and tell it out among the nations. Only the 144,000 men, as we all know, who have the Father's name written in their forehead, intellectual comprehension, and the spiritual illumination of all these things, only those are able to sing this song. Because of thy loving kindness is better than life, therefore these will, with their lips, praise God, praise Jehovah. It is any wonder, then, that those that these can rejoice in spirit saved. All of these who are praising God can do this. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He hath put a new song into my mouth, even the loving kindness of our God. Psalm 103:2. Yes, we are the only ones who can sing the song and sing it softly. Yes, these rejoice in telling forth the praises of him who has called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. These indeed are ready and willing to join in the spirit of Psalms 145. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. What a privilege, and what a duty. All God's saints will be blessing him and praising him at this time. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits yet. It is the saints that are now fulfilling this scripture. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom. What else? These words are expressive of the mind of the consecrated, and to them it is not sufficient to think only of the creation and the fall. That's wonderful to see, really, the perfect creation, and to comprehend the fall. The righteous sentence of God, we see that of justice operates then. That's wonderful. That's part of the great illumination we receive. And then the redemption accomplishing through the precious blood of Christ, for the blessings which is sufficient for the blessings of the entire race of Adam. That's wonderful if we do that. That is all. No, all this would not finish the picture. The good tidings of great joy which shall be for all people. remember our Lord when he read in Isaiah 61 his commission, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You remember how to read. And now he realized his commission to do certain things that are enumerated there. I won't take time to do that. You know what it is. You've heard it so many times. But there was one thing he left out. And he didn't say anything about the day of vengeance. Remember? Now, it's our privilege at the close of this gospel age, at the close of this harvest period, to complete the commission and tell the world what all this trouble means, what it's all about. God's vengeance is being poured out on all the nations of the earth. And then after that, that wonderful message to you also deliver, then will I pour out upon the people the pure language, and they'll all serve me with one truth. There's your twofold duty. Declare the vengeance on what the time of trouble means, also the blessing that shall follow. We have a twofold obligation, and our commission is like that. Let us not go to sleep. Let us be wide awake and fill it out. It is also necessary to conclude this message that we have today with the words of the psalmist. Notice what he says. And that's part of your text, top of your program. To speak of the glory of God's kingdom and to talk of his power. Yes, the power of God is able to overrule, and is overruling all things, and his great divine plan is being worked out in the affairs of men and nations, and we are the only people that are able to see it and comprehend it. To make known to the sons of men thy mighty acts and the glorious majesty of thy kingdom. Tell it to the sons of men. Put it in the newspapers. Put it over the radio. Or wherever you can. Tell it out. Yes, the glorious majesty of God's kingdom. Yes, we are living in a grand and awful time. The time just preceding the mediatorial kingdom. That phase of Christ's reign which will bring about the blessing of all mankind. Just before that. And, mind you, the great time of trouble is because of this kingdom rule. Now, if there is no trouble in the world, then you have no evidence that that is the case. But if there is trouble in the world, then we have that proof. So our natural senses, you see, that we're right in our interpretation of the prophecies. Well, I think you'll mostly agree that there's a lot of trouble in the world. And that's the beginning of this new power that's coming in. First thing, tear down and destroy everything that stands in the way. And then when man's extremity has been reached, then the blessing will begin. But first, trampling them out with much of all my fury, and their blood, you see, is sprinkled on my garment. Why, who is talking? See how it is? What's going on all around us today? And how can we be still? Let us note in this connection, along this line, the words of our pastor. You know, I like to go back and see what he said. The church in the flesh does the predicted Elijah work in the spirit and power of Elijah. Now, there you have a whole chapter in the volume in regard to this matter, and we are living in that time. As members of the body of Christ, some at least are left here for that very purpose of telling these things out to the world before they all happen. Wonderful privilege is ours. Then to the world and announce our Lord's second advent. We've been doing that for a long time, yes. That is wrong. In almost the same words used by John the Baptist, what did he say? There standeth one among you whom ye know not. So we, comprehending the condition of the world today, are able to say to the world, there is one among you invisible, all powerful. We are able to see and understand, but you know him not. Let us do what be faithful then. Heed the words of Isaiah 52. 1 and 7. Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garment. Spiritually, we've had linen garments now for some time. Now we're arriving at the time when you can lay aside those garments and put on the glorious garments. For how the high priest does, we can't go into detail here, but you remember, just refreshing your mind. Now the prophet said, we've arrived at a time when Zion can put on her glorious garments. The holy city. Beautiful. Upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good. Nobody else can do that. We're the only people on earth today. Why they have these conferences in over here in did they bring us a message like that? When all these theologians get together, can they give us a comforting message? No. We are the only people that can give a peaceful message that publishes salvation. And what do they say? You know what? Just listen. God saith, thy God reigneth. I believe. What a privilege is ours then at this time of doing just that. See, thy God reigneth. All the evidence all around is proof of the wrecking crew in operation. And as you remember, when you read in Volume 1, the Day of Jehovah, the very first page, where our pastor speaks about the general of Jehovah, Why, he's a warrior. He's a fighter. And he tears down and destroys everything that stands in the way of his editorial speech. That's what's going on. And we're with all these things, and we're privileged to come it out among the nations. Let us be assured, then, dear brethren, that the feet of him are not all with our Lord. So we believe some of the feet are still on this side. And it says the feet of him now are doing all these wonderful things, declaring this message. The head could not do that. It wasn't the time. But now the feet of him are privileged not only to declare the day of vengeance, but also to say, "Thy God reigns." And part of the church then is left here. And their divine commission then is to declare the day of vengeance, and as we said, "Thy God reigns." This chapter evidently has a twofold application, both earthly and heavenly. This chapter of Isaiah. Let us note in verse 9 and 10, and especially verse 10, what it says. "The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." That's not it, but we are privileged to declare it and tell the world that that's what's going to happen before it does really take place. "Therefore, dear brethren, let us make known to the sons of men, all mankind, Jehovah's mighty acts and the great majesty of his kingdom." Psalms 145 and 12. A bit of verse that fits in here very nicely. "Oh, precious feet, and so warm. Make haste to enter in, for when it is done, how sweet will be the rest. So much desire. Dear feet, so tired, do not forget how once those feet were blessed indeed. When he, our elder brother, blessed Lord, so gently ministered unto their needs. And doth he not today go through and through the faith who yet must strive to enter in? How beautiful! Ah, yes, how glorious! To bring good tidings that our God doth reign." And so, dear feet, by him so well beloved, come, joyfully, attuned with music sweet. Come, hasten on, with patience loving thee. In a little while, we all with him shall meet. Mary says, and so you see, my dear brethren, it's a wonderful privilege to live at this time, when this order of things is making way for the new order coming in. And as our pastor has so forcibly stated, this kingdom will be in the process of setting up before all the members are on the other side. And then those members, those of this speech class, who are performing their mission, will have a part in kingdom work. And then you know that scripture is titled. We're all familiar with it. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. From 1878 to the present time. What's their blessing? They cease from their labor in a human, frail body. But then, like that, they're changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, and their labor continues. No change. Now, if we're laborers, if we're co-laborers of God at this time, if we're giving the message to the world that he has to give, then we are co-laborers, and our work will not only continue, but they'll be unlimited on the other side. For you see, how few people today realize the privilege of being one of God's consecrated, illuminated, prospective members of joint heirship with Christ in his kingdom. So then, in conclusion, we'd like to make this little distinction. You remember it tells us that this universal empire will follow the Gentile rule. And then our pastor, in taking along that line, uses this peculiar language. Now, this is found in Volume 4. And if you'll begin with page 617 and read over to page 624, you'll find this information. It says, they on the other side. Now, this is peculiar. Are cooperating with us who are yet here in the place. Why is it stated that way? I'll tell you why I think it's so stated. This message that we've been talking about must come before the blessing. And he says, now, you can read for yourselves if you look it up. Where they on the other side are cooperating with us. This message must be delivered. Must be heralded now. And it's our blessed privilege to do that. Now then, another thought, and I'll quote. Remember, in discussing the great time of trouble, he makes this peculiar statement. He says, our Lord is here tearing down and destroying present government. And here's a peculiar statement. And then he up His own glorious kingdom. It is a distinction made there. Jehovah has been ruling, and now, by the service of the general of Jehovah, who is the active agent in tearing down and destroying, now he sets up his own glorious kingdom. That is the mediatorial kingdom. And my dear brethren, today we are living in this transition period. And let us do our best to make some of these cases of distinction between Jehovah and our Lord. Like the prophet has told us, when he says, "Sit thou at my right hand, Usar, sit thou, the Lord, the King of Kings, at my right hand, until I, Jehovah, make thy enemies thy footstool." When all of his enemies are made his footstool, then he sets up his own glorious kingdom. Now let us put it out among the nations. I think so. Dear friends, I'm sure we have all appreciated and heard the words of our dear brother Murray. And we thank our Heavenly Father for the wonderful message of the hour, the message of salvation and of the Lord's blossoming kingdom. Brother Murray, just a few moments ago, used the word, "Sell it out." Certainly no more appropriate words could be used in our closing song for this period than those same words, "Sell it out." Sell it out among the nations that the Lord is King. Hymn number 280. 280. Thank you.
Favored, we humbly ask in Jesus' dear name.